For a scripture reading, we turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. That's why we read in God's holy word, Lord's Day 43 is the Lord's Day we consider this morning. Lord's Day 43. what is required in the ninth commandment, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Connection with the Lord's Day, especially pay attention to verse 22 of Proverbs 12. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Proverbs 12, verse 22 uses the name Lord, literally in the original, the name Jehovah, to refer to God in this context. That name Jehovah is God's covenant name. It reveals that God is the eternally unchangeable God of His covenant. And that's good to be reminded of as well as we consider the law of God, and in particular this law this morning, this command. God is the one, our Jehovah, our covenant God, is the one who has brought us into the covenant by His own grace, by His own power, as His own work. He has taken us, drawn us unto Himself, and brought us into that covenant relationship. And it is God also who maintains His covenant with us. God does that. God alone does that. One who is a member of the covenant at one point in his life will always be a member of God's covenant. God's covenant is everlasting and unbreakable. And that covenant of God is a covenant friendship. God takes us unto Himself into His own bond of friendship. He shows Himself to be our Father, and He nourishes us and cherishes us as His own beloved children. He does that by fellowshipping with us. That's especially how God cares for us. It's true, God is our covenant God, controls all the events of our life, providentially rules over everything that occurs in our life. That's a great comfort to us too, especially in troubles and trials. God controls all things and cares for us that way. But the way that God as our Father especially cares for us is by speaking to us. Speaks to us His words of love, words of grace, comforting, mighty words, words of admonition, words of warning, words of rebuke at times, words of encouragement. Because God deals with us in this loving way as our covenant God, we're called to love Him. We're called to thank Him. We're called to live in loving thankfulness unto Him. And that by keeping the law. That generally God brings us into the covenant, maintains His loving bond of friendship with us, and says to us, now that I love you, now you go, I have filled your heart with my love, now you go and love me and live thankfully before me. But our covenant God also keeps His covenant in truth. He keeps His covenant by promise. That's how God has chosen to deal with us as His covenant people. He makes a promise to us. He gives us His promise. He says to us, "You are mine. And I promise you, you belong to me. And I promise you, I will continue to bless you all of your life long. And I promise you, I will never break the covenant. And I promise you, I will bring you into the perfection of that covenant by my own power and by my own grace in due time." That promise was from the very beginning. Gradually throughout history being clarified more and more, and things and parts added to that promise. Always the promise of Jesus Christ coming to His people in the Spirit, even in their hearts. The promise of the covenant fellowship between God and His people in Jesus Christ. That's a faithful promise of God. As our covenant God, He speaks the truth to us when He speaks His word of promise. And He keeps that truth. What He says He will do, He does. Then He says to us, as your covenant God who speaks truth to you, speaks a word of true promise and faithful promise, now you be like me. By the grace that I've given to you, by the life in your hearts, by the power of my Son through His Spirit, now you be like me. Speak the truth as well. Keep your promises. Speak the truth and do not speak lies. And so He gives to us this covenant word. This word of the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's consider that commandment under the theme, the abomination of lying lips. The abomination of lying lips. First of all, we'll consider the fact of that. The fact that there are such things as lying lips, and the fact that they are an abomination unto the Lord. Secondly, the command. And then thirdly, the warning. The text, Proverbs 12, verse 22, speaks of lying lips. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Verse 17 does also, says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Similar in thought to verse 5, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." From those verses we can come to understand that speaking the truth is a way of righteousness. That's a righteous thing to do, of course. Speaking lies is unrighteousness. Verse 17, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit," meaning a false witness speaks deceit, which is unrighteousness. Righteousness means to be in harmony with God. To be in harmony with God. God has earned righteousness for us so that legally we are righteous through Jesus Christ. He has imputed that righteousness to us. But then He also pours out some of that righteousness upon us, and we begin to manifest that in our lives. That's our calling. And those who tell lies walk out of harmony with God, walk in the way of unrighteousness. It's not surprising then, is it, that lying lips is the order of this world. That's the characterization of this present world that we live in. By world, we don't mean creation, of course. The word The word world in Scripture can take on various meanings. By the word world, we mean the whole world as governed under the power of sin and given to the pursuit of sin and rebellion against God. Lying is the order of this world. Even the world recognizes that. They do. They don't like to face it. They don't like to talk about it very openly, except in pointing at their politicians, those who are meant to represent them, those who are supposed to lead them. Then they'll openly say, see, this person lied, as long as that person they're pointing at is on the opposite party from the one they support. Both sides do that. Both sides openly reveal the lying of politicians, spinning the truth. Sometimes it's called, it's the same as lying, of course. Misleading the voters, it's the same as lying. That's the order of this world. Those are the kinds of people that individuals say, those are the ones we want for our leaders. Those are the ones we'll elect. Those are the ones we'll put in high positions of power. Those who are the most masterful at lying, who can do it the best. Those are the ones that ought to lead us. But it's not limited to the political realm. Of course, it's found in our everyday life as we encounter the advertisement of this world. The world says, if you only can have this, then your whole life's going to change. Look at this individual. Look how attractive and successful that person is. If you can but have that product that they're endorsing, your life will be entirely different. And they know that's a lie. Of course they do. But they also know that many in the world are so blind to the lies that they'll follow along willingly in the way of lying. The entertainment world is based upon lies. The whole structure of Hollywood is all about creating an illusion. Carry people away from the everyday life. Carry the people away from the troubles and the trials of their life. Not teach them how to face those trials and overcome those trials. Pointing to the only way to face and overcome trial, pointing to Jesus Christ. That's not their goal at all. The goal is to lead them away from the troubles and paint out a glorious world that they can escape to for a little while. And the world sings to their followers. Their songs are all lies, predominantly, as a body, as a whole. One lie after another, they croon away to one another, seeking to deceive, seeking to lull into spiritual lethargy, rebellion against God. And they'll glamorize those things that are most destructive. The world does that today, don't they? Even the entertainment industry, but the world, the culture as a whole, they'll say, look here, look at these, look at this alcohol. This is something that really will make you enjoy life. How can you go through a weekend without imbibing a good amount? And if you take this drug, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. A wonderful life seems for a little while. It's the lie of the world, beloved. Children, young people, those are lies, the world tells us. The world lies in its education. One of the important reasons that we have and we must maintain and be thankful for our own Protestant Reformed Christian schools. Education of the world today is largely lies. It's largely propaganda. There's some facts, certainly. But there's also an interpretation of the facts that's given to the students as The world says in grade school, high school, and college, here's the way you ought to understand things. Here's the way things really are. And they lie. Just one example of the lie, again, of evolution, that evil lie of this world as a whole. But just to pick out one aspect of that, the Piltdown Man hoax. Perhaps you've heard of it, maybe not. An individual decided to take a human skull and put it together with the jaw of an orangutan and say, "See, this is one of our ancestors." It's a hoax. He knew he was lying. It was discovered some years later, and yet often still perpetuated. The world is given, we say again, to lies. Or the lie that Islam is, after all, but a religion of peace. But a religion of peace. And sometimes God's people, sometimes Christians even, in an assumed large-heartedness say, perhaps there's something to that after all. How can it be? How can there be any religion apart from Christianity that is a religion of peace? Every false religion makes war against God and promotes war against one another. Very plainly does the false religion of Islam. And our culture says too. Our culture, broadly considered, spreads forth its lies. Says there's no difference between the sexes. How can you say one ought to be the head and one ought to submit within a marriage relationship? They're equals. They're equal partners. That's the only way it's fair. Discrimination, too, is wrong, especially now we're going to use that in the realm of sexuality. Homosexuality, to discriminate against such a thing is evil, says the world. The world is full of lies. We're aware of that when we speak of false doctrine. It's very plain to us. When there are those who say God loves everyone, we immediately say, of course not. God only loves His elect. We know that. When we look at the world, the ungodly world, we must be as perceptive and as careful and as knowledgeable and as well-educated of their lies as we are of the lies of false doctrine within the sphere of the church. Because it's that ungodly world, we're not looking at it antithetically and living over against it antithetically, that will seep into our homes and seep into our minds and into our hearts and destroy us. While we shout the warning with regard to common grace or some of the other errors that have assaulted the church in the past. But we see it too in the church world, don't we? Great falling away, a great love of lie and a despising, a hatred of the truth. All of this is, beloved, abomination to God. Lying lips, the text says, are an abomination to God. Abomination, children, means that God hates it. Abomination is a very strong word. Doesn't mean that God hears a lie come out of someone's lips and He winks a little at it. Or He smirks a little and shakes His head and says, you shouldn't do that really. That's not how God views lies. God abhors them with all that is within Him. Lying lips, the Scripture says in our text, are indeed an abomination unto God. That's with regard to lying about one another. That's with regard to lying about other human beings in this world. And even the godless lying about one another. That's with regard to lying about truths and interpretations of facts. That's with regard to lying about the truth of Scripture. All lying is an abomination unto God. And God well knows, and we must know too, lying lips come from lying hearts and are connected with lying hearts. Verse 20 of Proverbs 12 says, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy." Out of a deceptive heart come these lies, through the lips where they become manifest. And lying hearts means lying persons. One who has a lying heart, one who has lying lips because of a lying heart, is a lying person. We take that understanding, we put that back into the text. Lying hearts are an abomination unto the Lord. Lying persons are an abomination unto the Lord. The Lord hates liars. He doesn't dislike them a little bit. He isn't very disappointed with them. The Lord hates unrepentant liars. And that's, beloved, because God is a God of truth. God is Himself a God of truth. Everything about God is true. Every one of God's attributes are true. Everything that God has ever done has been done in truth, in sincerity. There's no double speak with God. Everything that God says is truth. The devil who speaks with forked tongue, not God Almighty, the living God of the covenant. Not only do we say God hates lies and unrepentant liars because God is a God of truth, but also because lies, as the Catechism puts it so well, lies are the proper works of the devil. Let's understand that, beloved. The devil was the father of lies. In real ways, the one who gave birth to the lie. He's the one who decided, I will depart from the God of truth and I will go in another way, and the only other way is the way of lie. He believed his own lie. Such a fool he is. I can be like God or even greater than God, he told himself, and he believed it. He was punished for his sin. Fell into wickedness and into corruption. And then he came to the garden. And he spoke the first lie in this world. Deceived our first parents. They listened and they followed. And the lies spread. That's the way lies always work. They may originate with the devil, but they spread so quickly. We must not take them lightly again. We emphasize that because it's easy to do. It's easy to say, murder, how horrible. Taking God's name in vain, I would never. Committing adultery. Any of the other commandments, but lying. Well, everybody does that sometimes. We may say, tempting to justify ourselves. We need to remember the words of the Catechism. Lying is the proper work of the devil. We act like Satan when we lie. We act like that old serpent when we lie. We must speak the truth. That's the command of God. Abhor the lie and speak the truth. The command of God is that lying lips must be an abomination to us as well. Not just to God. We say, I know God now, I understand God. God hates lies. But as His people, we must be bold and we must be brave to say, and that's the way it is for me too. Lying lips are an abomination unto me. They're not a weakness merely. They are sin. And I hate them. If they're my own, I hate them. They belong to others. They're an abomination unto me. And as always, we must begin with ourselves and we begin with sin. And as we first have said, I hate lying lips. And we turn to ourselves and we recognize we have such lips. I'm not saying that we're given to that. But we have that. That characteristic at times that manifests itself in us, doesn't it? We lie. Not a single person in this room who hasn't lied. We recognize that about ourselves and we're sorry. We must repent. We must turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've done that. I'm sorry I've said those things. I'm sorry that I twisted the truth. I'm sorry that I misled so-and-so. I'm sorry that I didn't speak up and confess the truth when I should have. The truth about Thee, the God of truth. Sorry that I behaved like the devil and spoke as He speaks. And as we repent and humble ourselves with regard to our sin before God, repenting, we could add too, that we have not only joined with the devil and behaved like him, but really joined with the world, behaved like the godless, those who do not know God's covenant, do not know the God of truth. We repent of that, then also we must believe. That's the command as well. Believe, says our Lord Jesus Christ, believe in me. Believe that I spoke the truth. Every word that He ever uttered was the truth, beloved. From His very first words, as He began to speak to His parents, throughout His childhood, into His youth, as a man, even under duress, even when contradicted, even when others tried to trip Him up, He spoke the truth perfectly. In love for God, in thankfulness to His covenant God and Father, even all the while that our lies weighed upon His shoulders. That's how we live. Let's remember that. As He walked through His life and He spoke the truth and He never once hesitated to speak the truth, always He said the truth. As He did that, our lies, the sin of the guilt of our lying lips was upon His shoulders. And He carried that load all the way to the cross and He suffered God's hatred for our lying lips. He knew, He knows that lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. That wasn't simply a verse He read in the Scripture. That was a pain He felt in His soul, beloved, upon the cross, as He endured the wrath of God against us for our lies. Believe that. And believe that He in that way atoned for, paid for all of your sins. They're gone, all of those lies. They're washed away. Not for the whole world, they yet are an abomination unto the Lord. But through Jesus Christ, all of our sins are washed away. All the sins of our lives are gone. And God looks upon us in love and in mercy and in grace. He looks upon us as if we never had told one lie. He looks upon us as and sees us as truthfully as Jesus Christ is truthful. That's how He looks upon us in Christ. Doesn't mean God doesn't know we sin. Doesn't mean God ignores our sin. But it means God steadfastly views us through Christ so that legally He can say, they are righteous in Him. They're godly in Him. They're holy in Him. They speak truth in Him. They do not lie. Believe that, beloved. That's the truth of God's Word. That's the truth which fills our hearts with joy and delight, which fills our hearts with thankfulness, which motivates us to love Him, makes us rise up from our knees of repentance, knees of the prayers of repentance, faithful believing in His Word, and say, I will speak the truth. By the grace of my God, I will speak the truth in every area of my life, as much as I am able. And I will abhor with my God lying lips. And I will do everything I can to avoid walking in that way and sinning those sins. Turn from them and hate them with all of my heart. The Catechism puts it, I will bear false witness against no man, though others may bear a false witness against me. And take comfort in that, beloved. That's the way it's always been with regard to God's true church, God's true people, God's true prophets. It's the way it's always been. They will bear false witness against you, but you speak the truth. You be committed to speaking the truth as thankful people of God who love Him. That I bear false witness against no man. That I will not falsify any man's words. I'll not twist what he said. I'll not change what he said. I'll not insist he said this when he clearly said that. I won't do that. Not as one who's a member of God's covenant, who knows God's grace, and who knows the forgiveness, the justifying forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I will not do that. That's what the ungodly do. That's what the wicked do. That's what the vain and foolish do. It's an abomination unto the Lord. I will not do such a thing. I will be no backbiter or slanderer. I'll not speak behind my brother's back, saying things which are harmful about him, saying things which are untrue or true, as much as I am able, the Catechism ends, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. Sometimes they themselves besmirch their honor and good character so much that we're not able. That's the truth. But as much as we are able, maybe we should even add, and then a little more, because we tend to draw that line far, far too close to ourselves, and not generously enough with regard to the neighbor. As much as I am able, and then yet more, I will defend and promote the honor and good character of my neighbor. And I will not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. Someone comes to us and says to us, and children must listen too, it happens far too often. Someone comes and says, did you hear this about so-and-so? It's terrible, isn't it? And then we say, I didn't hear that, but oh yes, that's right. We just joined in condemning someone rashly, unheard. We didn't go to the brother or the sister and say, is this true? I heard this. Is that true? And they may very readily say, that's not true at all. That's a complete twisting of what I did or what I said. Rather than listening to rumors and to gossip, we ought to be open with one another. Speak openly to one another. Speaking the truth in love as those who hate untruth find lying lips an abomination. That I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit. All sorts of lies and deceit. So that I do not hurt my neighbor with my words. Verse 18 of Proverbs 12 says this, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. It's a good verse for our children to memorize. It's a good verse for all of us to remember. The world says so long as you don't shoot someone or stab someone or hit someone, you haven't hurt anyone. God's Word says your words hurt. Your words destroy. They're as bad and can be sometimes worse than a sword. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. When you use your words to try to destroy someone else or destroy their reputation, that hurts. Don't do that to one another. Use your words to promote them, to encourage them, to lift them up. Verse 18 says, but the tongue of the wise is health. That's how the wise, meaning the godly, use their tongue to strengthen, to make stronger, to give health, emotional, psychological, spiritual health to God's people. That's the calling, and that's what, as forgiven sinners, we say, I will do that. But then we're called also to examine ourselves. We're too easy on ourselves, you know. Easy to say, well, I recognize I have to be more careful about it. But we have to go home today, look more carefully at our lives, look more carefully at our words, live more carefully. As someone who stands back and always supervises his own words, so that we can catch ourselves in our lies and catch ourselves in the twisting of the truth and catch ourselves as we use our words to hurt our neighbor. And then we learn more and more to hate those sins and turn away from them. And then also, beloved, the command of God to us is, as always, but especially in this regard, love not the world. Love not the world. The world is a world that's given over to lies. We demonstrated that earlier. Any child of God with but a sense, but a seed, a beginning of sanctification can recognize that's what this world is. It's a great big lie. How can I love it? Must not love it. I must say, the lying lips of this world are an abomination unto my Lord, and therefore an abomination unto me as well. When we view the world that way, then we will see more plainly and will grow to see more and more plainly how they lie to us and about the truth and about our God. Someone who loves the world must love their lies. And someone who loves the world and loves the lies becomes blinded, doesn't see the lies anymore. We must rather love the Word of God, which opens our eyes and enlightens our pathway and shows us the way of truth. That which God hates, beloved, God destroys. When we read in the Word of God, lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, we must be warned God will destroy those who unrepentantly walk in the way of lies. That's the truth of God's Word. The Catechism puts it that I must avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring upon me the heavy wrath of God. The child of God who says that heavy wrath of God has already come upon Jesus Christ for me and truly believes that and truly loves that will not walk in the way of lies. But sometimes we need the warning. Hear that warning plainly. Don't walk in the way of lies. You will bring upon you the heavy wrath of God. If it's not for some the everlasting wrath of God, then it's the firm and stern chastening of a Father who is displeased with our lies. And when God chastens, He's sure to make things very, very unpleasant. Turn away from those sins and enjoy the knowledge of God's favor. Verse 13, and the Word of God is full of it, but verse 13, just a few examples. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. One who continues in lying finds that it's but for a moment because it's cut off, it's destroyed. That's the idea. Chapter 19, verse 5 says this, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. That's God's warning to us. The way that God deals with those who lie is God blinds them more and more, so that after a while they can't tell the difference between truth and lie. They say a lie and they're convinced it's the truth. What a horrible place to be. Speak the truth, beloved. Keep your eyes open. Walk in the light of God's Word. Enjoy His fellowship. And know He delights in you. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Walk in godliness by the grace of Jesus Christ. Walk in repentance. Walk in believing in Christ's forgiveness. Walk in thankfulness and love towards Him. And you will enjoy His delight and His covenant communion and fellowship. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Impress it upon our hearts. Turn us from the way of sin. We confess we are very sinful ourselves. We see it in the world. this sin, but we see it in us, in ourselves too. Forgive us. Give us the faith to believe, truly believe we are forgiven. Fill us with thankfulness and the grace of the Spirit, that we may walk in the way of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.